here in God's house this morning. As has already been indicated this morning, last week we started a new series on Paul's letter to the church, or the churches in Galatians, because this letter was a letter that was written to the number of churches in that area and was used to be passed round so that they could all benefit from what Paul is writing in this letter. Last week, as I said, Pete started off and gave us a few pointers as to why the letter was written, and also looking at the first 10 verses. And there we saw that there was that choice that they had to make and that we have to make. And that, who do you choose to please? Do you please man or do you please God? Because Paul was writing this because he knew that the church, these churches in Galatia, were in danger of being led astray by the ideas of false teachers and false preachers, and trying to pull them away from the true gospel. The gospel that Paul preached, the gospel that came from Jesus himself. And so this morning, as we continue in these verses of Galatians chapter 1, we see, as right at the very beginning, Paul had already given his credentials. He says in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not sent by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So it was Jesus who had called Paul. He was set apart, as we read in these verses. And Paul shows Jesus' unique position as the Son of God. Paul firmly believed that he was set apart for Christ and by Christ. And that should be true of each one of us, that we are set apart by God for a purpose. That purpose is to be able to live a life worthy of Jesus and to share the gospel. In this letter, many who read this letter or heard this letter read to them would have known all about Paul, how he, as he outlines here in verses 13 and 14, how he had his personal mission to try and destroy the church. He outlines his Jewish background. He said, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of the Jews of my age. And he goes even further in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, if we look at verse 9, he says this. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. So that was Paul's previous position. But now, as we read here, he is called by God. God moved in his life and changed his life. And Paul goes on to say in Philippians 3, but whatever it was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and I consider them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through Christ, through faith in Christ, a righteousness that comes from God and is seen by faith. So here, both in Galatians and Philippians, Paul is outlining his previous history and why he had convinced himself that God had called him to try and destroy the church. We know that because right at the beginning of the early church in Acts chapter 8, it says, just after the martyrdom of Stephen, it says, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned him deeply. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So that was where he was. That was where he had been. That was where he believed he was serving God. But then, remarkably, on that Damascus road, Christ met him. Jesus encountered Saul, later to become Paul, and showed him who he truly was, that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he was the Son of God, and that he had a purpose, a new purpose for Paul's life. And so here we have this situation where these people in Galatia were receiving this letter, and they would have known all about Paul. They would have known his previous history. But Paul's compelled to write to them because they, as we saw last week, they were in danger of being hoodwinked by false teachers seeking to undermine the newfound faith of these Christians, especially the ones from a Gentile background, because they were trying to insist that they went through some of the Jewish rituals. So Paul makes it quite clear in verse 11, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. Because that was what was happening. Those false teachers and false preachers were bringing their own version of the gospel. They were diluting it. They were changing it. They were adding bits to it. And the Bible warns us that we're not to add anything to this precious word. So in essence, Paul is saying that this is the gospel that I received from Jesus. He says, I did not receive it from any man in verse 12, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. You see, we still see today those who would seek to undermine the true gospel, those who would peddle their own ideas of what the scripture says. But the truth will prevail. Over the last few weeks, on the evening website, there's been a series of talks by Alistair Begg on the letter of Jude. Now, as we know, there's only 25 verses in that whole letter. And somehow he took probably about 10 different weeks to go through that letter. But one of the messages that he turned to time and again, the phrase that he used was those people, or these people. And that was the same that was happening in the time of Jude, that false teachers and false preachers had infiltrated the church and sought to bring disharmony. And Jesus himself warned against that because he talks about beware the wolves in sheep's clothing. And we need to beware of that too in our day. As I said, Paul makes it very clear that the message that he is preaching came from Jesus Christ himself. And that's quite a statement, really. He's saying, as I read in verse 1, that he's an apostle. But he wasn't one of the original 12. He wasn't called by Jesus to serve with him for 3 years. But as I said, Jesus met him. And as we read in Acts, when Ananias meets Paul after he has met Jesus on that Damascus road and be led into the city of Damascus and spent 3 nights blind, having lost his sight. Jesus spoke into his life. So he is convinced that he has been called by God. And brothers and sisters, that's true for each one today. If you know and love Jesus as Savior and Lord, Jesus has called you. Yes, you may have been influenced by the works and the example of other Christians. But it's Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that has called you to be his son and his daughter. Paul realizes that the preparation of his previous life was indeed some way a preparation for where he is now. Because now he is empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. You know, it's intriguing to think, how did Paul receive this message of revelation? Did he receive it on the Damascus Road when Jesus confronted him? Did he receive it during those 3 days as he sat in that home, unable to see, physically blind, and to some extent spiritually blind? Or did he become, did his spiritual sight come when the scales fell from his physical eyes and he could see after Ananias had prayed for him and commissioned him? Because that's when Paul was first commissioned. When Ananias tells him that he is the one, God's chosen instrument, to take the message to the Gentiles. So Paul now can see physically and spiritually and know in his depths of his being that he has been truly called by God to serve him. And just as Paul shows that he has been called by God, so here we see too that the message that he is bringing is one that is the true message. It's the message that he has received from Jesus. It's not something, as he said, it's not something that I've made up. And in some ways he's inferring that that is what's happening to those who are bringing the false words. A message that they've made up. A message that got them prestige and influence. Whereas Paul only wants to promote Jesus. He only wants to give Jesus the praise and glory. And we need to remember that this word, this is the holy word of God. This is the precious word of God. This word. Many of us have got Bible and maybe one or two Bibles at home. We need to treasure it. This word, made up of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And it's interesting when we think about it, that this letter to the Galatians that Paul is writing here is the first that was written in the New Testament. These believers in Galatia did not have any other words of Scripture, except maybe some pamphlets or leaflets. Because when we look at the dates of even the gospel, this letter that Paul writes here was the first letter, was the first that was written in the New Testament. This was written before any of the four gospels. And so the only way that they could pass on the message was by word of mouth, and perhaps writing down some of the words that Paul and others had taught them. And yet this book is still the bestseller throughout the world. Every year, it doesn't appear in the best-selling books of that year because it's always top. And so they just don't include the Bible in the best-selling list, because it's always top. Because nothing can beat it. This is the living word of God. This is the active word of God. This is the word that can still transform lives. And this is the message that Paul brought to this church. He says, God set me apart. He set me apart for a purpose to preach the gospel, to preach to the Gentiles. And as we read here, he says, but when God set me apart, I just want to read this in a way that shows how much Paul realized that this was all of God and not of himself. In verse 15, but when God set me apart from birth, when God called me by his grace, when God was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach the message that God has given me. So it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. And Paul says that he didn't consult anyone else because he had received such an incredible revelation from God about the truth of the message that he was bringing, that he did not need anyone else. But he does, because he still needs Jesus, he still needs his companions, and when he does go to Jerusalem, we see that he is welcome there. It's interesting when we read these verses 17 and 18 of Galatians chapter 1 in conjunction with Acts chapter 9, because that is when Paul has been commissioned by Ananias and the scales fall from his eyes. When he preached in Damascus and then went to Arabia. Now it's thought that was when he spent 3 years. 3 years being prepared by the Holy Spirit to go out and be the light to the Gentiles that he was called to be. He was being enriched during that time. And I think that shows us how important it is for each one of us to spend time alone with God, to spend time reading his word, to spend time allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives afresh, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us in the day-to-day things that we do in our day-to-day living. Because Paul, although he did not know it at that time, was being prepared that would enable him to realize that when he was going through those times of danger and trial and tribulation and being mocked, he had been strengthened by God. He had been equipped by God to deal with those things. But he also was able to see and to know and to witness how people responded to his message of salvation, how people responded to people being called by God and realizing that Jesus Christ had died for them, that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior. And that is true today. Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the one that bore the sins of the world. He is still the one that when people turn to him and confess their need of him, that he brings salvation into their lives. And we need to remember that we need to build one another up in our faith. That's what that word from Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, that to encourage one another. And Paul met an encourager later on in Acts when he meets Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. So Paul eventually goes to Jerusalem and he meets with others there. And perhaps there were still those who questioned the sincerity of Paul and his message. But the Holy Spirit was working there too. And as I say, Barnabas welcomed him into the fold. And that was the start of their joint ministry to the Gentiles. So this morning here we see, if you like, this was the groundwork of this letter. Paul is then set apart to teach. And that's what he does for the rest of the letter. he teaches about Jesus. I mean, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he shows how people should live. And as we read through this letter, and as we go through this letter over the coming weeks, this will probably take us up to the end of November, that Jesus is the key to all that Paul is writing about. He's wanting to build the faith of these Galatians up, so that when he goes, the ministry of God can continue. The ministry of Jesus can continue. And brothers and sisters, that's for us today. We are the ones who are called. It's like, as we saw in the, perhaps, in the athletics recently, you know, when there's a relay race, the baton gets passed from one to another. We now are the ones who have received the baton of the gospel of Jesus. And it's, we are encouraged, and indeed we are commanded, to go and preach the gospel, to show it in our lives, in our day-to-day living. But even now, we see, as I said earlier, there are still false teachers who seek to undermine the gospel. They bring a man-made message, but it's a false message. The only true message is found in the words of this book. So we have that commission, that calling. Yes, this book may have been written over 2,000 years ago, but it's still relevant today for us. We need to remember that our minds, as it says in Romans 12, have been transformed. Transformed by the renewing power of God. Transformed to be able to share and to show the love of Jesus. Transformed by the Holy Spirit to show and to preach the gospel in whatever way we can. Our minds have been transformed. We have been transformed. All for the glory of God. And we need to be prepared to stay true to this living and active word. Because this is the source that we should use. We don't need any other self-help books. You know, self-help books are all the thing. If you just need to go into any bookshop or the library, and there's racks and racks of self-help books. This is the only self-help book that we need. Read it and rely on it and trust it. And allow God to speak into your life afresh as you do so. Because it reveals the truth of the gospel. It reveals who Jesus truly is. That he is the Son of God. That he is the one that bore our sin. Your sin and my sin, and indeed the sin of the whole world on that cross of Calvary. But yet, we have that promise that when we trust in him, when we believe in him, we have that promise of eternal life with him. And that is the message of hope that we need to take into the world. That is the message that we need to believe, that we too have been set apart for Christ and by Christ. It's interesting, just as we read that, as we sang that song that Tim introduced us to this morning, the last verse, the beginning of the last verse says this: made for even greater things, made to share the life that Jesus brings. That's what we are called to do this morning. To share and to show the love of Jesus, because he is the one who brings new life into people's hearts and minds. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, as we have discovered this morning, that it's a true word, that it's a living word, that it's an active word, and it still has the power to transform people's lives. Lord, help us, not in our own strength, but in your strength, to go forth and show and share the love of Jesus with those that we meet. That his kingdom would be extended and his name glorified and exalted. Amen. Amen.